KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 34 degrees in Atlantic. We look for some areas of light rain or snow possible this morning. Otherwise, we expect to see partly cloudy to cloudy skies here today with a high of around 40. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Authorities in Harlan said Thursday that a man and woman from Omaha were arrested Wednesday on theft charges following an incident at the Do It Best hardware store in Harlan. According to the Harlan Police Department, 40-year-old Terry Cottonwood and 34-year-old Peggy Robitelli were taken into custody during a traffic stop as they attempted to leave town. Video security footage showed the pair allegedly taking items which had not been paid for from the hardware store. Cottonwood and Robitelli were charged with fourth-degree theft, possession of stolen property, and ongoing criminal conduct. Cottonwood was also charged with failure to have a valid driver's license and failure to have proof of insurance. That same day, 64-year-old Dennis Peters of Harlan was arrested for operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated. Peters was taken to the Shelby County Jail. Officials said also that 18-year-old Brett Wilkie of Harlan was arrested February 24th on three counts of ongoing criminal conduct, three counts of delivery of a controlled substance, and prohibited acts. The arrest was the result of an ongoing investigation. And on February 22nd, a complaint was filed in Shelby County District Court against 52-year-old Kenny Carl of Omaha following a reported theft at the Napa store in Harlan. Carl faces a charge of theft in the fifth degree. That same day, 18-year-old Johanna Torres of Harlan was arrested for violation of a no-contact order, and a complaint was filed in court against 23-year-old Theodore Behrens of Harlan, who faces a similar charge. The Harlan police also report 43-year-old Mark Boardman of Portsmouth was charged February 19th with five counts of identity theft following an investigation into the theft from a residence in Harlan and use of a stolen credit card. News time is 8:02.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty. And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Atlantic City Councilman Chris Jimerson is using the power of social media to poll residents of the community about a proposed speed reduction ordinance on 22nd Street. Jimerson posted a Facebook question asking for residents' opinion on whether the speed limit on two different sections of 22nd Street should be reduced from 45 to 35 miles per hour. If the ordinance is eventually approved, the speed limit would be reduced on East 22nd Street from Highway 71 to Olive and on West 22nd from Chestnut to Highway 6. Most of those responding to the poll were opposed to lowering the speed limit. National Weather Service in Des Moines says it's in its latest flood outlook, there's not much change in the forecast for the risk of flooding as we head into spring in a few weeks. The outlook issued Thursday morning covers a time frame from early March through early June and includes the Nishnabotna and 102 rivers. Officials say the risk of flooding continues to be near or below normal at all locations. Current conditions, they say, are not conducive to major large-scale flooding since the last outlook was issued on February 16th. The outlook does not include heavy snowfall, which fell earlier this week across the northern U.S. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources yesterday reported a water main break in Adel had resulted in a water boil advisory being issued for the northern half of that city. The boil advisory is for a portion of the city north of Green Street, also known as Old Highway 6. The repair on the main was expected to have been completed by early Thursday evening, but since the water pressure was lost during the break and repair, the boil advisory was nonetheless issued. The southern half of Adel is not affected. Officials said due to the potential for bacterial contamination, it was being recommended that the water be boiled before using for drinking or cooking, or that an alternative source such as bottled water be used. Two sets of samples need to be taken to determine whether the water is safe, so it's likely that Saturday will be the earliest that the boil advisory can be lifted. It's recommended residents of the northern half of Adel not drink the water without boiling it first. Bring all the water to a boil, let it boil for a minute, and then let it cool before using, or use bottled water. Bottled or boiled water should be used for drinking, making ice, brushing teeth, and food preparation until further notice. As boiling kills bacteria and other organisms in the water can be used for bathing and other similar purposes. Elsewhere in state news, an Eastern Iowa-based research group has issued a report which is critical of state lawmakers' efforts to clean up Iowa's lakes and rivers. The Iowa Policy Project study shows that funding has declined to 7 of the 10 state-managed water protection programs over the course of a decade. IPP Research Associate Will Hoyer reviewed the water quality funding trends adjusted for inflation dating back to 2002.
And when we do that, we look at FY02 and beyond, we see decreases in most of the programs we looked at on the order of 30%. And we feel like that's a problem.
IPP Executive Director David Osterberg said that state water quality staff are being asked to do more with less, and asking for improved results is asking for too much.
At least $5 million more should be being spent on water quality in the state of Iowa just to be at the level we've been at in the last 10 years without considering the intensification of row crop agriculture.
Lawyer noted that lawmakers' choices appear to be to contradict what Iowa voters asked for in November of 2010 when they approved a natural resources trust fund to be funded by a share of the next increase in the sales tax. Osterberg believes that vote showed the public would support increases in funding for water protection.
We just don't spend much money on the whole natural resources which sustains this whole state. I mean, we depend in Iowa on our natural resources, and yet we don't spend very much money protecting them.
Iowa has more than 550 streams, rivers, and lakes listed as impaired waterways by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. Free women's health screenings are still available from the Cass County Health System and Cass County Home Care. Carla Akers, Care for Yourself Coordinator of Cass County Home Care, says the screenings are made available through the Iowa Care for Yourself program and a grant from the Iowa affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. Screenings include mammograms, clinical breast exams, and pelvic exams with or without pap smears. Some age, income, and insurance guidelines apply, but Akers encourages women to call about availability. Enrollment numbers are limited and services must be completed by the end of March. Women interested in accessing the women's health screenings should contact Carla Akers at 712-243-7443. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources will host public meetings on March the 6th to discuss possible changes in the hunting and trapping regulations for this fall. The changes would affect deer and waterfowl hunters as well as hunters and trappers who pursue bobcats and otters. Proposed changes would stabilize deer numbers in some areas, potentially add a third zone for waterfowl, and increase the harvest number of otters and bobcats. The public meetings are held from March the 6th from 6 to 9 p.m., and they'll be held locally in Carroll, Council Bluffs, Creston, and Onawa. There's a list of possible changes available online. You can find that link on our website under this same story at KJAN.com. Just click on the News tab. An official at the USDA's Farm Service Agency in Iowa said the FSA will conduct several Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP, informational meetings across the state. One of the meetings takes place on Thursday, March the 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Adair County Fairgrounds 4-H building in Greenfield. John Whitaker, State Executive Director for the FSA in Iowa, says the state currently has more than 1.65 million acres enrolled in CRP, with nearly 232,000 acres of which will expire on September 30th. A general CRP sign-up is scheduled to begin March 12th and end April 6th. Environmentally desirable land devoted to certain conservation practices may be enrolled into the CRP at any time under continuous sign-up. Producers wanting to re-enroll continuous CRP practices expiring on September 30th must do so prior to contract expiration. Landowners with expiring CRP land or land that is not currently enrolled in CRP are encouraged to attend an informational meeting. Information on that meeting and other programs administered by the FSA can be found at www.fsa.usda.gov/IA for Iowa. And taking a look at world headlines at this hour, residents in Kentucky and Tennessee are being warned of the potential for more tornadoes today, 2 days after twisters flattened neighborhoods in 4 states, killing 13 people. In Harrisburg, Illinois, where 6 people died, the National Weather Service says it's looking less likely that tornadoes will strike today. Police are on hand today as students at the Chardon High School in Ohio return to classes 4 days after a teenager opened fire in a cafeteria, killing 3 students and wounding 2. A viewing for one of the victims is set today, and 16-year-old Daniel Parmeter's funeral mass is scheduled for tomorrow. President Barack Obama says he's not bluffing when he says it's unacceptable for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Obama told The Atlantic magazine that Iran and Israel both should know that he means what he says. Obama will meet Monday at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Obama wants Israel to postpone any plans to attack Iran's nuclear facilities in the coming months. News time is 8:10.
How did your shopping trip go with Grandma today?
Good, but...
But what? What's wrong, honey?
I think Grandma's mad at me.
Mad? She didn't say anything to me. Why do you think she's mad?
Well, when we were in the store, I wanted her to come and see the pretty bracelet, but she just kept walking away.
But did you say anything to her?
Yes, I said, Grandma, Grandma, come look at this. It's so pretty. And she didn't even look at me. I don't know what I did. I don't want Grandma to be mad at me.
Oh, honey, I bet Grandma just didn't hear you.
When you can't hear the people in your life, it can cause hurt feelings and confusion, and you may be totally unaware of the circumstance that caused the hurt. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. When you struggle to hear what those around you are saying, or if you don't hear them at all, your lack of response may be interpreted as indifference, coldness, or even anger. This can cause problems in your work, social life, or worse yet, your family relationships. If you even think you have a problem, don't risk damaging the relationships that are important to you. Schedule a hearing evaluation today at ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And checking our funeral announcements this morning, Wayne O'Brien, age 87, of Adair and formerly of Menlo, died Monday at the Stewart Community Care Center. A funeral mass for Wayne O'Brien will be this morning at 10 o'clock at the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Lucille Cones, age 90, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Lucille Cones will be held today at 10:30. At the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic, Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Vera Whalert, age 101, of Exira, died Sunday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Vera Whalert will be held today at 10:30. At the Exira Christian Church, Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Vernon TV Bob Robert Hansen, age 84, of Harlan, died February 24th at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Vernon Hansen will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gene Smith, age 86, of Adel, died February 23rd. Services for Gene Smith will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Adel United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Neva Kaiser, age 81, of Earl Lewis, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Neva Kaiser will be held Monday at 2 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Burton Whitrup, age 77, of Elkhorn, died Thursday in Harlan. Services for Burton Whitrup are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.